Tutankhamun's Trumpet by Toby Wilkinson. Read by David Timpson. An accompanying PDF will be available to download from your audiobook library. Introduction. On the 5th of November, 1922, in the Valley of the Kings, Egyptian labourers, under the direction of the English archaeologist Howard Carter, uncovered a series of steps cut into the valley floor. A few hours later, clearance revealed a descending staircase, terminating at a rubble wall that blocked further access. This was the moment for which Carter and his patron, Lord Carnarvon, had been toiling for 15 long years in the heat and dust. Carter immediately sent a telegram to Carnarvon, who was 2,500 miles away at Highclere Castle, his stately home in southern England. "At last have made wonderful discovery in valley. A magnificent tomb with seals intact. Recovered same for your arrival. Congratulations." When Carnarvon arrived in Luxor 17 days later, he and Carter proceeded to clear the rubble wall and the corridor beyond. Eventually, on the 26th of November, they gained access to the royal tomb itself. Peering into the darkness with a lighted candle, Carter could not believe his eyes. Carnarvon, unable to bear the suspense any longer, asked, "Can you see anything?" Carter's now famous reply came back, "Yes, yes, wonderful things." What Carter and Carnarvon had discovered was, in every sense, a treasure trove, a hoard of precious objects fit for a king. In total, the grave goods interred with the boy pharaoh numbered over 5,000 objects, an unprecedented collection for a single discovery. Together, they comprised, in the words of Carnarvon himself, "enough stuff to fill the whole Egyptian section upstairs of the British Museum." They ranged from the mundane, the boy king's loincloth, shaving equipment and first aid kit, to the highly symbolic, his leopard-skin cloak, wooden paddles with which to row to the afterlife, and a ritual torch shaped like the hieroglyph for life. There were poignant objects with personal family resonance, the king's mummified stillborn children, and a lock of his grandmother's hair. Food and drink for the next world, chickpeas and lentils, joints of meat, a basket of dates, and wine from the royal vineyards. Practical tools, a scribal palette, a cubit rod and chisels, were buried alongside weapons, bows and arrows, fighting sticks, scimitars, leather scale armour, and the king's prized chariots. Precious objects, a linen glove, a blue glass headrest, gold and silver staffs, demonstrate the sophistication of ancient Egyptian taste and craftsmanship, while exotic imports from distant lands, ebony and ivory from Nubia, and a jewel of Libyan desert glass formed by an ancient meteorite strike, show the range of Egypt's trading and diplomatic networks. Objects of daily domestic use, board games and oil lamps, makeup and furniture, baskets and sandals, provide a vivid picture of life in the Nile Valley over 3,000 years ago. In the 100 years since the most famous archaeological discovery of all time, Tutankhamun has become the most famous ruler of ancient Egypt. A few objects from his tomb have achieved worldwide renown. His spectacular funerary mask, fashioned from beaten gold, is recognized as an icon, perhaps the icon, of pharaonic civilization. His gold coffins and royal throne are frequently illustrated in books on archaeology and ancient Egypt. However, most of the other myriad objects interred with him in the Valley of the Kings remain largely unknown, their stories untold. To mark the centenary of Carter and Carnarvon's great discovery, this book focuses on the objects buried with the boy pharaoh as the source material for a portrait of ancient Egypt, its geography, history, culture, and legacy. 100 artifacts from the king's tomb, arranged in 10 thematic groups, are allowed to speak again as witnesses of the civilization that created.